Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. 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 Galatians 6 and 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth all good things. I present to you our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
Praise the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. Meet us in the text and tailor the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear and heed what you have to say to us. And gracious God, our Father, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor.
Hallelujah.
It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Well, come on, give him a hand of praise if you really love the Lord. Certainly, we are thankful and grateful to God for another blessed and wonderful opportunity to study his word. I want to ask a question before I get started. I want to ask, how many of us wrestle with temptation? All right, God bless you for your honesty. Temptation comes in all shapes and sizes, all arenas of life, all areas, all concerns. And so basically when we talk about temptation, it is with a view toward being pulled from the place that God would have you to be, or from the knowledge that God would have you to operate in. And so therefore, many of us usually deal with this in the context of morality. But the devil messes with us more than just in the area of morality or immorality, but rather in every area of our lives. And that's why maybe when we win the temptations against the enemy in the area of morality or immorality, we lose it in other areas of our lives. We lose it in our finances. We lose it in managing our weight control. We lose it in how we talk to people or how we view people, and so forth and so on and so on. And so it's important to recognize some things about the enemy and some things about temptation itself that I believe would be helpful for us to be victorious in more areas than one in our lives as it relates to being able to win over temptation. And so as we counsel about this temptation tonight, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to talk about how to deal with temptation. And I mean, this is, as long as you're alive, you're going to have issues with temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is our launching scripture. But I want to back up a few scriptures, if you don't mind, and just to help us understand a few things as it relates to this word. Verse 9 says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10 says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now Jesus is making clear and sharing some things and some insights about how the people in children of Israel messed up, and how and what happened to them because of their mess ups. But the biggest thing was that they messed up as related to what God said. Now, you hear people say, you're never supposed to question God. You're never supposed to question God with a view toward disbelief, but you can question God for clarity. You can question God as relates to you being able to understand what is it that he wants you to do and what is it that you aren't doing, et cetera, et cetera. But it should never be with a view toward disbelief. And this is what happened with the children of Israel. They questioned God, would you brought us out here in the wilderness to cause us to die, to cause us, you know, we were doing all right back in Egypt. And so forth and so on. So it was with a view toward disbelief. So if you're going to question him for clarity. Okay? I mean, it's human nature. So people tell you, oh, you don't know you're supposed to question God. Well, I mean, God doesn't have a problem. God wants you to know. God wants you to know. And God wants you to believe what he says. And once you know and believe what he says, then you're on straight street. Okay, so that's one of the things that Jesus is making clear. They messed up, and listen at this. He says that this is again, verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, verse 11, all these things happen unto them for an example or examples, and they are written for our admonition. Now he's admonishing us, don't do like they did. Don't argue against the word of God. Don't act up against God and disbelieve God. So that's the reason why this is in the word of God, to help us understand if God said it, that settles it. And that's how we should operate. God said this word. I may not understand it. And even when I ask him and he doesn't answer me, immediately, what I have to believe is that God knows best, okay? And sometimes God don't reveal what's going on until it's over. And then you see the light. Then you're like, well, God, okay, well, now it makes sense to me. Well, whether it makes sense or not, if God has said it, if God is doing it, trust him. You see, and then that shows again that you are where God wants you to be or on your way to where God wants you to be. All right, then verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now I like this because it's telling us, you know, you think you have the answers, you think you know it all. Be careful, because if you're not clear about the matters and think you have all the answers, don't understand what God is doing. He says, a lot of times you come to your own conclusions, and in your own conclusions, you do what? You error, you fall. You make the biggest mistake, because the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The ends. All right. In the end, you see all things are revealed. And so one of the things the believer must understand is how to trust God when they can't see. How to trust God because God said it, and that settles the fact that if you're going through it because God sent you through it, then understand he has a purpose and a plan and will give you power to come through the thing the way God said. So trust him in the midst of not understanding all of the things. Listen. This verse is going to share some insight with us, and I want us to look at it right now, verse 13. Because it then says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape or to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Another translation there, ESV, reads this way, no temptation has overtaken you. I like the way it starts out. No temptation. No temptation has overtaken you. That is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Say endure. endure it. See, some of your temptations are going to last until you endure it, until you go all the way through it, until you take the whole test. And see, there's some things that God will allow and God will permit because God is developing you and God is bringing you to a new level of understanding and maturity. And so if he were to deliver you before the test were over, you would not come out of it the way that he wanted you to. How many times have you looked in your own life and seen in the end, not in the beginning, that what you went through made you a better you? How many of you can honestly say that I can see now that the stuff I didn't think I would make it through, one, God brought me through, but two, I have gone through that and have come out of that a much stronger, wiser, better person than I ever could have imagined being not going through those things? How many times does God reveal things in the test that he doesn't reveal out of the test? See, there are just some things that God wants to do and develop in you that won't happen unless you're going through a temptation, a trial, a tribulation, a test, because it's in those things that the essence of the real you is brought out, it is developed, it is matured, and that's where you can really begin to see that the Word of God is real. It is what God said it is. It's going to happen the way God said it's going to happen, and sometimes he has to walk you through it to show it to you. Now let's look at this word again because I want you to see some things in here. The first thing, as the word says, there have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. First thing I want to talk about is the conniving of the tempter. The conniving of the tempter. What is the conniving of the tempter? Well, here it is right in the text. The tempter, Satan, Slewfoot, Beelzebub, you keep on going down the list of names. All of those are him. He is the tempter. All right? He does not use, this is the mastery of the enemy's tricks. He doesn't use new tricks, but he uses them on new people. All the way through the Word of God, the tricks that he's used, he's still using them. Why? Because they work. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. He ain't got to come up with no new tricks when the same old tricks work. And so he plays those tricks on people over and, well, Let's take a test, survey the house. How many times has the devil used the same trick on you? All right. How many times have you fallen for the same old thing? I'm trying to tell you, he keeps using it till it stops working. And then he goes in his bags of tricks and finds something else that will work. But as long as it's working, you'd be like, man, I should have known that. Even Gomer Powell had sense enough to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And yet the devil has fooled us over and over and over. And the conniving of the devil is so filled with mastery that he uses, listen at this, no temptation hath overtaken you but such as is common, such as is common to man. What he has learned, people, is that if you aren't careful to align yourself with the word and the will of God and then operate in that, then it is clear he can use you with the mindset of the flesh, because we are made of flesh and spirit, born again people. All right? So he appeals not to the spirit part, but to the flesh part. Let me survey the audience again. How many of us are saved? All right. God bless you. Thank you for being saved. How many of you have made sinners' mistakes since you've been saved? Why? You are saved now. You're saved now. Why are you still making sinners' mistakes? because of the flesh. Flesh and spirit. And see, one of the things that you got to realize is there is a war going on every day. Every day. And so the flesh is warring with the spirit. And so if there is no understanding and operating in the spirit, the flesh will win out. We've saved from the power of sin, we're saved from the penalty of sin, but we're not saved from the presence of sin. And since we're not saved from the presence of sin, sin is all around us. Paul said, every time I attempt to do good, evil is always present. Listen now. But if evil is always present in this world, then it means its influences are right there with it. It means its ability to flash thoughts or temptations to your mind, in your mind, affect your mind by the things of this world, so much so that unless you come against those things, that you usually yield to them because of your flesh sake. I mean, look at the enemy and again how he works and how he operates in this. Because he's conniving and because he is a tempter, he knows what to tempt you with. When was the last time the devil tempted you with what you didn't like? I mean, he don't even waste his time trying to tempt you with stuff you don't like. He goes right to the meat of the matter and tempts you with what does appeal to you. He tempts you with what does appeal to you. Now listen to what he realizes. Temptation is not a sin. What? Temptation is not a sin. So he bombards us with temptation to try and get us to yield. Yield to temptation. See, he presents the matter to your mind, but you don't have to take it. It's like advertisement, people. Advertisement advertises, but they don't make you buy. They just let you know what's for sale. Now, if you go and purchase it, whose problem is it? Whose fault is it? It has done what it is designed to do. Temptation, like advertisement, wants to get you to participate. It's no sin for temptation, but it is a sin when you yield to that temptation. And that's what the enemy knows he cannot make you do. The enemy cannot make you yield to temptation. He can only test you. He can only try you. He can only make it appealing to you. And so when you begin to realize, wait a minute. There have no temptation. No temptation that has overtaken you but that which is common to man. And so that means the cunningness, the connivingness of the tempter is that he uses what works. And so all he has to do is watch you. Look at the choices you make. Look at the things you say. Watch your reaction to things. Watch your passion for things. Watch the books you read. Watch the movies you watch. Are y'all getting this here? And then what you do, he mimics. But he takes it further. And then he does it in a way, and most often when you are not conscious of it and you are weak. But when you begin to know the word, that when you are weak, then are you made strong. Remember the dust and the divinity. So when the dust, the flesh, gets weak, you still got divinity. The spirit, that part is strong in you because the spirit is not moved by temptation. The spirit is not moved by evil. The spirit is not moved by those things that you're moved by in the flesh. So if that's the case, then you need to realize that you cannot be overtaken, talking about born again believers now. You cannot be overtaken by any sin other than that that is common to man, the old tricks of the enemy. If they worked before, he'll use them again. If he used them on you and they work, he's going to use them again. So know the word, know how to watch out for them. Look at this second thing I want to share with you. The commonness of temptation. We were in, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The commonness of temptation. It says, but such as is common to man. Now, the temptation that, again, works on one man, works on all men. Not the same temptation, but the temptation as in the spirit. The spirit of temptation works on all men. I don't care who you are. I don't care how saved you are. It works on you. Listen, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So if Jesus was tempted in all points, there is not a place in your life that you will be tempted that Jesus did not was not tempted at, but he did not sin. That is the difference. He had to endure all of your temptations to be your mediator, advocate, to understand, be sensitive, and know what you're going through. Yet he did not sin. How then can he say, I feel you? I understand. I know what you're going through. I've been there. How could he say that if he had never been there? If he never had that experience? He had the experience of being tempted, but he didn't have the experience of falling. Never fail, not one time. But the reason he went through it was because of you and for me, so that he could understand it, because he represented, listen at this, us to God. God, I know we will save them through my death from the power and from the penalty of sin. But that presence of sin is something else. I'm telling you, it's something else. And he had to become sensitive to it to be able to be our advocate with the Father. To explain it to the Father from an experiential standpoint. And then whenever he finished his explanation, he'd show him his hands where the blood that flowed from all of the various parts of his body, and he was hung up for them, paid the price for that. So now help them. And so before Jesus left, he said, I'm going to leave you another comforter. Another comforter. Now, that other comforter in the Greek is paraclete. Paraclete is one called alongside you in time of trouble. So here's what, and I'll share it with you, just hold on to it a little further in the verse. But the paraclete is your 911. Now, if you don't call 911 and you need a police, will they just send one out just because? If your house is on fire and no one calls 911, will they send the fire engine out there? No. Every time the 911 response call is made, they respond in the appropriate way. What's the problem? And then they send the appropriate help. Well, what we're going to learn is that the reason why the Holy Ghost don't come is because we don't call. When a policeman, an officer of the law, realizes that the situation is more than he can deal with or she can deal with, they call for backup. But they go, listen, they call for backup before they go in. See, when you know this is too much for you to handle, don't get in it first. and then call for backup when you got weak in the knees when you saw. That was your point of saying, I need backup. I need help. And the Holy Ghost, listen, he's a gentleman. He is not going to force himself on you. He can see what you're going through, but his job is to respond to you when you need him. When you call for him. And so when you call for him, he has to respond in the appropriate manner. And so we've got to learn this from the Word of God. So not only is there the connivingness of the tempter, and not only is there the commonness of the temptation, but there's the control of the temptation. Now look at this, because the Bible says, but God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. Listen, he's faithful when you're not faithful. God is faithful. Now look at what the Word says. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Or the next word says endure, in terms of the ESV translation. Now, if God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, then it means then that if you succumb, submit, surrender to any temptation, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. One, you can't lie on God when God just said, this test has been pre-approved, pre-qualified to make sure that it does not overtake you. So if God permitted it to be a temptation to you, if he allowed it to be a temptation to you, if he allowed it to be presented to you, then he also knew that it could not overtake you. And so if it could not overtake you, then that means that you want it, or you acquiesced to it, or you allowed it to. Now, let's be real for a moment. All temptation we don't fight. Y'all sitting there looking holier than thou. There are just some temptation you just lay down and die. You just right there, it just kills you, boom. You ain't even fighting, no signs of struggle. No forced entry. You open the door for that temptation. Come on. You were waiting on that temptation. Don't act like every temptation overtook you, because that's not the case. Well, we have no record where you called 911. Either before, during, or after. We have no record in heaven where you say, Lord, help me, please. Where you called on the power of the Holy Ghost to help you in this situation. No, you just, all temptations we don't fight. And we lose not because it overtook us, but because we allowed it. We let it in. We don't fight. And so as a result of that, hey, we then come to the point where I just got weak. You didn't get weak. You didn't get weak. You didn't even fight. How did you know you get weak? It was stronger than me. It wasn't stronger than you. You want it. You know, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had somebody, you know, present whatever they were presenting to you, and you said no, and it wasn't firm enough. You said no politely, like, no, that's okay. And it's, come on. But you really weren't interested, and you said, no, I don't want. Come on. I said no. At that point, if they weren't stupid or crazy or foolish, they got the message and walked away. But if they felt that you weren't sincere in your no, They may have tried it, even though it may have been presented another way, but they went on trying you, persisting.